Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. On Tuesday, we dove in and talked about some of our past experiences, me getting laid off twice, Emily making a cupcakery that just, you know, burnt in the oven, pun intended. I don't know. And how it didn't go quite so well. And maybe some of the things that we wished we had focused on along the way. Definitely give that a listen. But before we dive into today's episode, I want to invite you to an upcoming workshop. You guys, it's going to help you get booked out with a simple step-by-step to follow system for your service-based entrepreneurs. So if you are struggling to get clients or don't know where your next one is coming from, highly recommend this workshop. Go to oneweektoclients.com and get signed up.
Woohoo! I'm super excited for you guys to get into that. It's brand new material and I know you guys are going to love it, and it's super actionable and it's free. So you should sign up, like, no questions asked. But after you listen to this episode, like, sign up and then come back and then listen and all that fun stuff. So today, like I said, last week we shared a lot about our personal journey of the huge mishaps we took. And in, you know, starting
we're
our
not
own
perfect.
Well, spoiler alert. And neither are you. So here's all your flaws. That's kind of what we're talking about today. The mistakes that you either have made or are continuing to make as you are trying to scale your service-based business. Start it, grow it, build the foundation. Wherever you're at in your journey, these mistakes are made at every stopping point. And I say that because, well, we did them. And so there's that. And we'll give you our version of our mistake as we talk about these three. But, you know, I want today to be known as the episode that kind of no one else is really talking about. I think honestly, today we're going to talk about some really popular strategies that you guys have learned and have implemented in your business with the hopes of getting more clients or being profitable from your passion, and then they're not working. And so we've done some of them too. We've done a lot of the popular strategies that a lot of people continue to talk about today. We just had the wrong goal aligned with those strategies. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about mistakes today, and we're talking about kind of what you can be doing differently.
Yeah. I think so often we convince ourselves that we have to run our business a certain way because of the landscape of what we're seeing everywhere. Like, you are bombarded with information. Mm-hmm. And if you're a podcast listener, which I'm guessing since you're listening right now, that you don't just listen to ours, that you probably listen to other people's too. There is so many strategies floating around.
Yep.
Do this, do that, try this, implement this.
Where's your lead magnet? Try a webinar, go Facebook Live. Why don't you have a YouTube channel? You're not blogging 5 days to week. You're not posting on Instagram 3 times a week. Have you tried Instagram Live? Have you changed your hashtag game? So many things.
It doesn't have to be so complicated, guys. Period. End of no. story. Mic drop. Walk away.
We're done. The episode is over. Okay, let's dive into some of these mistakes. They're yeah. not like, it's whatever. We're just going to start at the top. Okay. So mistake number one, we're going to cover the mistake. We're going to cover exactly how we made that mistake and how we see you doing the same thing, what you can be doing differently. So there's a lot going on. Mistake number one, we thought that we could serve two completely different people at the same time. Have you done that?
Yeah. So to give you some background, Emily and I started a marketing agency. We were doing branding, website design, photography, and simultaneously, for no real justification other than everyone else was blogging.
Sounded fun.
It was fun. We liked it. Whatever. We were blogging like a lot, like 5 times a week, a lot. But the person we were selling to was not our blog reader, period, end of story.
Right.
Not even, like, they wouldn't, it didn't, I'm not surprised they weren't the same people.
No. Well, and specifically, the exact scenario where we made this particular mistake wrong, when Abby and I first got together, like she said, we eventually had a marketing agency, right, where we served branding, website design, design in general, and photography. So you would think that our first collaboration together would be, you know, with a client. Offering those things to a client, right? Would it surprise you to hear that we didn't do that until like 6 months after we'd met? So our first collaboration together was a webinar selling a course to photographers. So the course wasn't bad, and it was to an audience that I had already built up. I was selling photography, and then a couple of people of other photographers had asked me, you know, how I was doing in-person selling and what I would recommend and blah, blah, blah. And so since everyone else at that time, this was what, 2015, 2014, everyone was doing webinars and doing courses and pre-selling and doing all this stuff. So I did that and it worked. Like, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with that strategy. But I think in the back of our heads, we convinced ourselves that it would be something that would then help our service-based business grow.
It's the same. It was the same with blogging though. It was like, we were still talking, although related, like there was an overlap because we were B2B, right? We're creating, you know, design and photography for other businesses. The education we were providing and like the blog posts we were writing and the webinars we were putting out, they were for other businesses.
Right.
And in fact, similar businesses.
Right.
But the people who wanted to hire us to do the work versus the people that wanted to learn how to do the work themselves are completely different people.
Right. Right. And we have met so many students who are at this same fork in the road and who make the same distraction choice that we did. You're just getting started with clients. You've maybe served a handful, right? And you're happy with it. And you think, okay, I can keep offering those things for sure. Well, now, since I'm not getting consistent clients, that must mean I need to immediately diversify where my income is coming from. So that must mean I need to serve a broader audience, that I need to serve, you know, the coaches that are hiring me to build their brand. Well, now I need to also teach them social media strategy or whatever else, right? And so we do these and we make these decisions too soon. They're not necessarily wrong decisions eventually, but they're happening too soon. So what happens, and this is exactly what happened to us, we woke up and we realized we had done two different types of businesses pretty well, right? We had some students over here and we're growing an audience who we were educating. And we had clients over here who we were serving one-on-one with work. And we loved both of them. But we woke up at the end of that year and I literally called Abby and I said, if I keep doing both of these, I quit. And so what I'm trying to avoid for you is that same burnt out crispy creative critter stage where you are hating clients, you're hating your inbox, you're hating people tagging you on Facebook with questions, and you want to burn the whole thing down because at the end of the day, you built two completely different businesses at the same time.
Yeah. Well, and they're not even, neither one is really fully working. No. Like there's so much opportunity left to be had. So we were on a coaching call a couple weeks ago, and I remember specifically talking to this woman who had a life coaching business, and she was helping professional athletes, either like kind of college or people coming out of like the actual big leagues, who were injured and now had to like redefine what their life was like without this sport being the backbone of who they are, right? Well, she comes to the coaching call and she's like, I think I need to offer this to like all the people who have different life changes that like make them feel like they're not who they are or who they thought they were anymore. And I was like, whoa, right. whoa, girl, like you need to slow down.
Yeah. She had people who were coming to her. She wasn't wrong. She had people coming to her who had been in car accidents like Abby, right? And needed specific coaching to learn their new life. She had veterans coming to her asking these type of questions. And so she was being told, you can serve me and you can also serve me and you can also serve me. It's not wrong to say yes to those people. You do it to the sabotage of your own business, meaning you cannot serve them if you do not have a business, when you widen those gates too soon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The answer to getting consistent clients is not serving more people.
No. We could have run for a very long time serving small business owners with food products. Seriously.
Yeah, that was the niche we had somehow found ourselves in after months and months of serving. We woke up and we're like, salsa, pickles, spices, truffles. It's fine.
I wasn't mad about it. I liked the samples. We had salsa for like 2 years after that.
I still have the seasoning mix in my cupboard that I use. So good. Okay, so like, you're shaking your head. You're saying, yes, okay, I've done that, right? When ultimately, like the course that you're trying to correct is a lack of consistent clients, is a lack of consistent income.
You're only doing it because you don't feel like it's working. You're not doing it necessarily because it's a fear thing. Can we acknowledge you're doing it out of fear, that it's not because you don't necessarily like the thing that you started with in the first place?
Okay, so moving on to mistake number two, and this kind of goes back to blogging a little bit, but I want to touch on a couple of other things. Looking for clients in all the wrong places. Isn't that a song? Looking for love. Isn't that a Rihanna song? Anyways. Oh, in a hopeless place.
We can make it. That's how it goes. Please sing it. Please sing it.
I will not. So here's what we did. We tried a strategy that we thought would land us more clients, like 100% with conviction thought it would land us more clients for 9 months straight. Just off the top of your head, a rough guesstimate, Abby, how many hours do you think you spent on that strategy? Just do some calculations real quick.
Let me see. I would say at least 2.5 hours a day times 5 days a week, times 4 weeks in a month, times nine months. We're talking at least 450 hours of my life, and that's probably a very low estimate.
450 hours were spent on a strategy that landed how many clients for us?
Zero.
That's 11 and a quarter straight full-time working weeks. Straight. Let's just say 12, because I'm sure there's times lost in there somewhere. 12 straight 40-hour weeks blogging in the hopes that it would land us more clients, and it got us none.
It kind of makes me feel like a fool for a little bit here. You guys, I was convinced, and for good reason. Yeah, like, I'm not the person who... I didn't invent blogging.
What? You did not invent blogging?
No, man. I didn't. I really didn't.
Out of this Someone relationship, else did. I have been fooled.
But like plenty of other people had done it and seemingly looked like they were successful on the outside. And here's the thing. You do not know what someone's actual business is like. I guarantee you guys, it's fine. I do this too. I'm not mad at you about it. I am sure if you've listened enough times, you have talked to a friend about what you think Emily and I have that you
don't. Right. I would love to hear that list, first of all. If you've done that, can you anonymously send me a courier pigeon with a list of things you think we have that you don't?
But here's the thing. You do not know.
No.
Like even a smidgen. I know Emily and I have talked about a lot of things that have happened, but I guarantee you, you would be shocked by the actual reality that is this thing that we do. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But maybe your thing isn't blogging, right? Maybe you're like, whoa, haven't fell down that rabbit hole. So hopefully we just diverted you from making that giant mistake. But your thing could literally be anything else, right? Posting on Instagram. Not saying it's bad, but if it's not actually getting you clients, what are you doing it for? Designing an opt-in, creating content, going live, all the things that I rambled off earlier, right? Because the thing is that online educators, ourselves included, have an online business. And so when we learn something and turn around and teach it to you, guess who it works for? Online businesses. If that is not where you are, which the majority of service-based businesses should not, this is one of the only times I say should not start online. If that's where you are literally implementing strategies that were not designed for the results that you're expecting them to give you.
So here's the thing. I could tell you all the other things that we did get as a result of blogging, but
it doesn't matter.
Neither here nor there. It's distracting. It's hugely distracting. Emily and I, without a doubt, our business could have been twice as big at that time. Three times as big at that time.
In 12 weeks of 40 hours time back? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That was in the first 9 months. Three of those months were spent blogging.
Doing the wrong thing.
Yes. That's a third of our time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I guarantee you, it may not be that you're spending 2.5 hours on blogging a day, but if you add up all the things that aren't getting you results, I guarantee you it's more than that.
Yeah. You want to know the answer on how you get more time in your day? Cut that shit out.
What would happen? What would happen if you stopped doing the things that weren't getting you results? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing would happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe your mom would call you and wonder why you stopped posting on Instagram. But that's it. Yeah.
What if you went back to using Instagram literally just for fun?
I know. I told that to someone the other day and they were like, what? They're like, I was like, you don't have to post on Instagram unless you want to. And she was like, no, but no. I said, no, really. Like, what if you only got on Instagram to like watch those other people that do the Amazon hauls? And then the next thing you know, you spend $100 on shit you do not need and you actually enjoyed it. Like, I started resenting all the places that our world invented to have fun, and they became only work. And that sucked. Yeah,
I hated Instagram for like a year.
Yeah, we literally. We like divorced it.
I don't want you to do that.
No. And so I'm not saying that those strategies do not work for some people. But for you, if you want to build a service-based business, it's a distracting when you're getting started.
If you do not it's have a distraction. A client or consistent clients that make you enough money to reach your financial goals, then you don't need to be focused on those things.
There's a way, I promise you. I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't know what the answer was already. There is a way for you to get consistent clients without all the online noise.
And we're going to talk about that on Tuesday. So keep your panties on. Because first, we got to go into mistake number three. This is the final one.
Yeah, I do.
Listen, and I'll talk about how badly I did this mistake. Learning about everything we could do. Not the stuff we needed to do. Not the stuff we ultimately did. But everything. I want to tell you about the time I like practically lived with earbuds in my ears every hour of the day for days and weeks and months on end, learning about conversion rates and sexy website homepages and booking forms and client surveys and webinars and landing pages and email welcome series and this, that, and the other, because it's fun to learn. It is. If you're anything like us, you legitimately love it. And I don't want to take that away from you. But guess what happened? Not only was that even more of a waste of time and distraction from what we were doing, but then I brought those ideas to Abby to say, we should look at this and try this, that, and the other. So I now doubled our waste of time on strategies that we didn't need to be focused on. But I also started to get huge comparisonitis. We don't have this. We don't have that. Reason why we're not successful is because we're not doing this over here. And we're missing an opportunity by not having a hologram of ourself pop up over on, you know, like whatever it is, right? And so I would just sit and my brain would never shut off. And then I started to resent and hate learning. Just like I hated Instagram and needed to take a break for a year, I had to like detox and like come off of that because I started to get mad about it. And I don't, it's such an icky place to be.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. It is, when she says it's fun, like it's nearly addicting. Like I listen to exclusively business podcasts for maybe 2 years at least. I only read books that were about business or self-help. I spent all of my extra time, besides the maybe an hour and a half a day, 2 hours I spent with my spouse watching junk TV on Netflix, like every other bit of my time when I wasn't working was learning. Like, I'm not exaggerating. Like, we're talking like all day long, every day. I had no life. I never went out with friends. Well, I really didn't have very many because I like shut myself off from so many people. And I thought that it was like a growth period, but I wasn't growing. I wasn't growing at all. In fact, I was just getting more and more and more overwhelmed because everyone else felt so much further ahead. And I would instead, because I don't want you to stop learning. I still think learning is crucial to growth over time. But what you have to do is you have to curate.
Well, and this is what I want to share with you. I don't know who I learned this from. It's not an exact quote. It's just a philosophy. And I'm sure you guys have heard it too. So let me be the person to remind you of it or tell you about it for the first time. But I did not come up with this, okay? What I did learn from my binge learning mode, and it finally just clicked with me when I was frustrated that we weren't seeing different results, when we weren't growing, when we weren't doing whatever I thought we could be doing from all of this knowledge, someone finally said to me, you need to only focus on learning the very next thing that you're ready to implement. Not the next 7 strategies, not the thing that you need to learn once you implement this and see these results and then you can implement this next year. None of that crap. What is the thing and the one thing that your business needs to do differently in order to grow? Do you know how to do that thing? If the answer is no, only seek out resources for that thing. Learn those, implement it, tackle it, measure it, look at the results, and do not go out of that learning specific zone until it is implemented and mastered.
Right. So I believe in Tony Robbins' philosophy that you can turn decades into days with the proper education. Like, you can take someone's course or listen to someone's podcast or whatever and like skip all sorts of mistakes. You can copy and paste someone's framework and implement something in your business to get results 10 times faster, 110%. But if you're also taking in all of this extra information that's not valid, your brain literally doesn't know what to listen to. And in the same way where you're like, as a kid and you sat in class all day and you're like, how is this valid for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. Like, did I really ever need to learn calculus?
Well, and another example that I've found really helpful in our industry, and it was shared in a different space where I'm learning. So like, I'm not going to dive hugely deep into this, but for those of you who don't know, I'm white and my daughter is black. And so I've been learning since before she was born and we adopted her, how to, you know, have conversations like that and how to deal with racism and deal with prejudice and deal with judgments and deal with whatever, right? And so there are Instagram accounts and email lists and Patreon accounts and everything that I subscribe to help me in that learning journey, because I'm learning from specifically people of color. Well, one of them pointed out, and I realized I was like on the right path, so I was already super happy about that. But this is one specific example where she pointed out, hey, even when you're learning in this space, even when you're learning about anti-racism and how not to be racist and how to be inclusive and all of these things that have to do with race, these hard conversations and these, you're getting these tactics and you're learning from these educators, even then, you need to be picky and choosy and limit who you're learning from to like 3 people. And that's it. Because what happens is, and when we have 10, 15, 20 accounts or emails or educators or videos or podcasts or blogs or whatever, telling us all of the different versions of the same thing, we shut down. We don't know which one is right for us. We don't know which one to implement and which one feels good for us. So we make no decision. And it's the same thing no matter what area of life that you are learning or wanting to tackle. It's the same thing, I'm sure, for Abby, right? When you first started like your exercise or meal planning or dieting with different foods and stuff, you have the literal world of options out there for you. And if you learn about keto and low carb and Weight Watchers and this, that, and the other, it's really hard to decide which one is right and which one is right for you.
Yeah. I mean, you have to... I think there's a little bit of searching involved in the beginning for anything. Like, it's going to take you a minute before you resonate with someone.
Who do you click with? Who do you like learning from? Who gets you?
But as soon as you've decided, like, tuning a lot of other people out is so helpful. Like, I have made a very conscious decision that on Instagram, at any given time, and this is still a lot, and I probably should pare it down more, but at any given time, I will not follow more than 1,000 people. And if you guys know anything about how Instagram works, you never see all of those people.
I follow 839 people.
There's probably only maybe 10 people that I see on a regular basis. And I like make a conscious decision to listen to what they have to say. But you can do this in every aspect of your life and you can pick and choose. But here's what happens when you focus. When you get down and you actually start learning the one next thing you need to learn, like you're able to implement so much faster. Like for instance, the weight loss thing. Do you know how many times I tried to lose weight? Let's just not count because it's pathetic. But because I have limited the scope in which I'm willing to take information in, and I have like honed in on my strategy, which this isn't business related, but it applies to everything. I've lost 44 pounds in less than 4.5 months. Like, and no, that's a lot.
If you didn't know, that's a lot.
So like, if you were to apply that to business, like imagine what could happen. Like, I can't imagine what pounds relates to dollars, but like, imagine if you limited your scope in which you took information in and you only implemented certain things and you were consistent. Cause it's that's the last piece that we're not like totally touching on here. Like you have to be consistent in which you do implement. But I will say for business, for you service-based businesses who are looking to get booked out, who are wanting consistent clients, who are wanting consistent revenue, the absolute easiest and fastest way to reach your goal is to use referrals. But for real, I am not to say this. I'm not just like throwing out one more strategy. Legitimately, you could get rid of all the other marketing strategies and focus on this one. I will give you another example because it just hurt my heart when I heard it. So we have a friend, we're actually in a mastermind with her. And she was like, okay, business is going well, but I'm noticing Yelp's helping. And I think maybe I should run some Yelp ads. And I was like, first of all, she's in high-end financial services. Like she plans everything. I feel like Yelp is like when you need a juicy cheeseburger on vacation, not like who's going to handle my entire portfolio, right? She's like, I'm going to run Yelp ads. And I was like, okay, wait, pause. Let me ask you a question. What is the number one way you've got clients to date? And she sat for a second and she said, well, I mean, an introduction here, referral there. I said, wait, those are the same thing. That's literally, you could, she said like four different things that were literally all referrals, just said different ways. And I said, what are you doing to increase that amount? What are you doing to increase the referrals you're getting in your business?
Nothing.
Nothing. It was the number one way she was getting clients, and yet that was the only thing she was ignoring. She was trying every other strategy.
Because it's sexy and it's fun to learn and implement something new. But sexy and fun doesn't necessarily provide you results. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Or fast.
Like it might provide results 10 months from now, $20,000 later.
Referrals give you the ability to focus on serving your clients first, which is your entire purpose as a service-based business owner. Referrals give you the ability to land clients on autopilot without literally having to think about it. Referrals give you the option to scale your services to premium faster and more effectively. Referrals give you access to dreamy clients. If you haven't been in business that long, you think you need to be in business for years before you get to work with a high-paying, dreamy, amazing, well-known client? You're wrong.
We charge $10,000 like less than 3 months into business.
Mostly because we're cocky as shit, for one client. But it also worked. Referrals 100% are the only thing that are going to give you back the time in your day from the constant grind and hustle of having to work 60, 80 plus hours a week just to find where your next client's coming from.
Yeah. So we want you to get qualified leads faster than you ever have before. We want them coming in on autopilot. We want you to have a system in place in which you can take those leads and run with them and pitch them appropriately to actually convert them to sale without the like 17 million follow-up emails where you're still waiting for someone to even acknowledge the fact that you sent her a proposal. Like, we're trying to avoid all of that. And it's a very specific, very tangible, very like, literally copy and pasteable. Like, we're giving you scripts. We're giving you the steps to implement these things to see results. And we wouldn't have done that unless we had been there. But these are the exact strategies we used. It was how, on the second time I got laid off, that I was able to go from laid off to booked out and completely replace my corporate income in 30 days. All of those things happened. And I want them to happen for you too, which is exactly why we put together this working workshop. And when I say working, you will get tangible things you can implement. Right? Okay. So go to oneweektoclients.com right now. Sign up. Please, please make time for this, because this could be the one thing you actually focus on and implement. And you could put other distraction aside. We want to save you time and energy and see real results. Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode. Send it to a friend who needs to hear it and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.